Good evening, everyone. At least it's evening for us. I know everybody could be listening to this at different times of the day. Welcome to another exciting episode of Two Surprising Republicans. I am John Rawlings, your host.
And I'm Mike, your other host.
We have an episode that is absolutely jam-packed for you guys today. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. A lot has happened in the past week. We had what we have dubbed Super Tuesday. We're using the number 2 in there because why not? We have lost another candidate, which we'll talk about. And Mike and I are actually going to go through the rest of the remaining primaries, and we are going to tell you who we think will win each state. I know that sounds like absolutely riveting internet radio, and I promise you it will be. So,
Hey, John, before we start, I think we should... we should recognize what today is.
Oh, actually, I think that's a fantastic idea.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, John.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Mike. I'm glad we can sit here, sip a little bit of whiskey, and discuss American politics on this Irish holiday.
And as cliche as possible, I'm having Jameson.
I am having Bird Dog, which I believe is a very, very cheap whiskey, but I got it on sale.
Well, for the record, neither of those companies are sponsors, but we are open to that conversation, so no, feel please. Free to contact us on Twitter.
Absolutely. Mike, did you do anything fun for St. Patrick's Day today?
I did, actually. In true American fashion, I decided to head out to the range with a few of my friends and tried out my new 12-gauge, and it was buttery smooth. We're going to actually be practicing, and we're entering a trap and skeet contest this fall.
Oh, fantastic.
How about yourself?
I drove the Cleveland Indians promotional van in the Cleveland St. Patrick's Day parade.
Wow. Did you get a lot of attention and honks? And
I was speaking on the loudspeaker the whole time, making sure people got out there to watch the Cleveland Indians on April 4th when they opened their season against the Boston Red Sox.
So we had a smashing can I tell you? Time. I don't know if you can see this, but I'm actually in the spirit of getting ready for baseball season. I have my Bows and O's shirt on, and I am ready for some fantastic, fantastic Baltimore Orioles baseball. There's no better team, no better stadium, and a wonderful city in this great country. So I'm excited for another great season of baseball. And more importantly, it looks like our local minor league team, they're part of the Atlantic League, the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs, are off to what's going to be a very riveting season. They just had a player last season sign on with the Yankees, and so got a lot of fresh new talent, and I am just tickled for baseball season.
Well, I'm glad you're so tickled for baseball. So, but let's move on to our first segment here, the delegate roll call. Mike, do you have the delegate roll call ready for us?
I do, and as of the most recent data available, which is the data available March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, the delegate count stands as follows. Donald Trump has 673 delegates. Ted Cruz has 411 delegates. And John Kasich, with his first full win after Super Tuesday, has 143 delegates. And a reminder for those of you keeping track at home, the magic number needed to secure the nod is 1,237. That's 1,237.
Well, that means Donald Trump is over halfway there, doesn't it?
He's halfway there, but I'd say he's also living on a prayer at this point with everything that's panning out with these primaries.
Oh, absolutely. So there was one name you didn't mention there, and I think that brings us to our next segment. Eventually, we're going to have the production value, folks, to where we're going to have some really great intro music and segments for these segments, although they won't last very long because we're not hopefully losing any presidential candidates. But in memoriam, what candidate did we lose, Mike?
I'm sad to say that before the final count was even in, Marco Rubio dropped out of the presidential race. It's impossible for me to say it with a straight face.
Oh, man.
Marco Rubio lost his home state of Florida, where he is currently our home state of Florida.
Oy vey.
And lost it humiliatingly, which we're going to talk about shortly, because it's really very interesting. But he left very quickly.
Oh, he left in a hurry.
Yeah.
Do you think that Marco Rubio, moving on to our next topic of discussion, do you think Marco Rubio endorses anybody in this race?
I don't think so. I think he's going to hold out because I don't think he's really wedded to anyone else. I don't think he can ride coattails at this point after what happened in Florida. I think what really happened was symptomatic of his whole campaign. So let's dispel this notion that Marco Rubio knew what he was doing. He had no idea what he was doing. I have to use his own weapon against him. That campaign was a mess. He fell on his face one too many times to be taken seriously. And unfortunately, unlike Donald Trump, Marco Rubio has a conscience and he has the ability to be embarrassed and he has the ability to put his foot in his mouth and it hurt him.
He lacks both narcissistic and sociopathic tendencies.
Which typically, you know, we assumed used to be a good thing for a presidential candidate.
Absolutely.
But color me surprised.
Bob Dole thought it was fantastic for Bob Dole.
Fun fact, I once had a stuffed animal named Bob Dole when I was 5 years old.
Nerd.
I was born to host this podcast.
Yeah. Nobody disbelieves that.
What do you think about Marco Rubio? What do you think he's going to endorse anyone?
You know, I would have liked to have thought he would have come out, and I'd really like to see him endorse Kasich just as a way to stop Trump, because that seemed to be his message going out. But I listened to another internet radio YouTube group, Kinda Funny, which you can check them out at kindoffunny.com. I recommend them. I find them entertaining. I like video games. I like nerdy stuff, and they do all that stuff. But one of their guys, Colin Moriarty, I find him to be a very intelligent man, and he actually said that Rubio ruined his political career by staying in and losing Florida the way he did. So I think nobody will accept Marco Rubio's endorsement. I think he's probably more than willing to give it, but I don't think anybody's going to accept it because I think he still wants to be relevant.
I think that's a really fantastic point. And it's clear that he, and to put it in Washington, D.C. terms, he spent all of his political capital. He spent every last dime that he had because somewhere, someone along the line told him that he was the crown prince for this nomination, and he believed it and held on to that like his guiding light.
I mean, he didn't run for his Senate seat. He put every single egg he had in the presidential basket, and now he's not even in Washington anymore. I mean, you're looking at Marco Rubio, private sector guy, and he might be 60 years old before he even gets serious consideration for a presidential nomination again.
Well, not to be crass, but I'm sure he'll get a job on K Street and finally be able to pay off all those credit cards if Donald Trump is correct. What do you say? What is there left to say about what he's done? So what do you think, John? What do you think Marco Rubio has left in store for him?
You know, I think he's probably looking at private sector work for a little bit. I don't think he's not going to have any political clout left. You know, him running again is going to look like Rick Santorum running again. You know, I mean, everybody's heard Rick Santorum. He's like that vanilla guy that, okay, great. But Marco Rubio's shot was this time, and I think he may have wasted all of his momentum, his political momentum, against Donald Trump, which is disappointing because I think the evolution of Marco Rubio could have been an interesting thing to watch. You know, everybody kind of grows with the presidency and they realize that they can't be quite as ambitious. They have to work with both sides. And, you know, maybe Marco Rubio would have been the guy who realized that. It's kind of disappointing that we won't ever get to see him grow politically that way. I mean, and that's not to say that it's a finalized thing, but
he's a young guy.
Mm-hmm. He's only 30 something, right? Or early 40s.
Well, he's at least 35. There's definitely, I don't think this is the last of Marco Rubio. I think we saw a freshman performance, and I think he has the potential to be really great. I really do. I think he needs to grow up a little bit, and it's funny coming from two 20-somethings telling this man to grow up. But I think once he matures, once he kind of steeps in his own juices, so to speak, the varsity Marco Rubio could be really great.
Do you think we might be looking at a governor, Marco Rubio, for the state of Florida at some point?
I think the state of Florida could really benefit from a Governor Rubio. He has really the previous governors of that state, ever since the end of Jeb Bush, have been terrible. Charlie Crist is a cancer on both the GOP and the DNC, frankly, depending on what day he decides to be which party. And they could really use someone like Marco Rubio that could really help make Florida a redder state.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, although moderation is not bad, because I'm quite moderate, you know. But I think Florida could use a good strong governor again.
I agree.
That actually kind of leads us into our next topic, which is Super Tuesday. You had expressed an interest in talking about Florida, which seems to be the Wild West of the electorate.
You know, absolutely. Florida is our home state. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of love for the state, but I don't think we're ignorant to the realities. I mean, there's a reason there's a whole subreddit on Reddit called Florida Man. And it is just news stories that begin with Florida man and end with some crazy ending about something crazy and stupid somebody did in Florida. Florida is still so hard to peg. If we go back looking at the last 10 elections of Florida voting history, it goes back and forth. So in 2012, it went Democratic. In 2008, Democratic. 2004 and 2000 were Republican. 96 was Democrat. 80 through 92, a long Republican stretch. And then in 76, Democrat. Florida was mainly a blue state up until about 1952. And then it became very red and then purple. And Florida, I mean, we all know in 2000 we had the Hanging Chad situation, which caused a total uproar in, you know, the Gore v. Bush election. And now Florida, which has quite a large conservative base, quite a large evangelical base, all but one county, which happened to be Marco Rubio's home county, Miami-Dade, went to Trump in this most recent primary. And what is comparable to Reagan's electoral landslide in the 80s. It's just incomparable to me how Trump made such a unquestionable sweep through the state. And they weren't narrow margins. He beat out Rubio by double digits in every county.
He clobbered him. I mean, it's unfathomable. Trump is polling so well with non-college educated voters. He's polling well with even college educated voters and others like that. I mean, it just seems to be like you can't stop him. The Cuban voters in Miami-Dade really pulled out for Rubio, and it's almost like he was a local candidate running for a presidential election. You know, that's how Florida made him look. And for a man who has won other states, I mean, he won Minnesota. So he had some momentum, some slight momentum, and then Florida, he thought he was going to win Florida, and he wasn't polling as bad in Florida as he lost. That's the crazy part. And he just ran up against the wall and he couldn't get past it.
There were points where it was, times where it was 5 points that separated Rubio and Trump. And this primary season, we have seen the fact that polls are irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And I guess I shouldn't say irrelevant. That's going to get me chewed up and spit out alive by everyone listening. But
they're not reliable.
Correct. Always. Correct. And, you know, what we used to consider political dogma and absolute truth is now a guess, as nothing more than a slightly educated guess.
Yeah. So, coming out of the night, who do you think was the winner? You know, given your impressions of all the candidates, I mean, I think Trump had a huge win in Florida, a huge win. You know, Cruz didn't make any movement at all. I don't feel that Cruz was even a relevant contender that night. he didn't even get into the news cycle, really. Kasich won Ohio, which was absolutely phenomenal.
You huge. Know, it, wonderful.
It, he... I've never seen a man more happy on a stage. I thought he was going to do a backflip. You know? Who do you think left the night the winner?
If we're talking on the GOP side, mm-hmm. Trump, definitely. It was a landslide for Trump. Mm-hmm. The real winner of Super Tuesday was Hillary Clinton, who had a 5-state sweep after Bernie Sanders said that he is just a few minutes ago said he is no longer he is not going to seek a recount in Missouri, which mm-hmm. means Clinton killed it on their side of this race. But Trump really it was dominating. I my heart wants to say that Kasich really won the night, mm-hmm. But I think a lot of us who gamble put money on Kasich taking his home state. It pains me to say Trump was the winner, but he was. He left with a renewed spirit and a renewed energy to his campaign, and now we're just going to hear rhetoric for November.
No, but you see, I think Kasich came out the winner because he won his campaign. He won the ability to keep running. Without winning Ohio, he ends up like Rubio, having to drop out, concede to Trump. And if Trump gets all those delegates, all of a sudden you're looking at Trump being somewhere. He would be, I mean, he's sitting, what, 772 delegates at that point. That's insurmountable for Ted Cruz, you know, unless the real conservative states or the real liberal Republican states kind of swing his way. And they haven't been tending to. They've been tending to swing towards Trump, you know. And that kind of leads us into the main topic of our show tonight, which is going through each remaining primary. And you and I are both going to choose a winner for each state based on the three candidates left. And we're going to see how the primary shakes up, our predictions for the primary season, and who we think will or will not get the total number of delegates, 1237, to become the presidential nominee in a first ballot convention. You know, and we'll talk about the possibility of a contested convention because we've talked about it for the last 3 weeks or so. You know, this podcast has been really contested convention heavy, and I want to kind of explain more to our listeners where we're coming from and why we both keep bringing this up, because it's, you know, like a broken record for us. So
I think to clarify that, though, it was a theory the last time we spoke on this podcast about a contested convention. Kasich's win in Ohio makes it a legitimate possibility.
Oh, absolutely. And a more exciting possibility. I was always saying, you know, I love, you know, presidential election season. I love the primary season. But this has just been such a disappointing race to watch. You know, you don't have any real controversy on the Democrat side. Bernie's making some moves. He's really just pulling Hillary more to the left, which is fine. Whatever. We all know Hillary's going to get the nomination over there. And if you think Bernie's going to get the nomination, read a little bit.
So, and she'll float right back to center after she clinches the nod.
Absolutely. The woman has never held a conviction in her life, you know, including, you know, keeping Bill to his marital vows. So, you know, but moving past that one, bazinga, copyright NBC, no, CBS.
Also not a sponsor. To clarify, before we jump into this for the audience, so they don't think we're rigging this or what have you, mm-hmm. Neither of us took a look at any recent polling data.
That was part of the deal, was don't look at any polls. This is a gut feeling. You have to go with what you know about the states without looking at polls.
Correct. So these are moderately educated guesses based on people who have only lived in a handful of states in their lives and from people who are just interested and are not playing the data game. So play along at home. We're going to be keeping track on our end. And if you live in one of these states that we talk about, definitely leave us a comment or reach out to us on Twitter and let us know if you think we're right or why we're wrong.
Now, we've got 19 to go through here. So what we're going to do is after each one, I'm going to say who I think, Mike will say who he thinks. We'll give a small argument either way on our end. nothing more, no counterpoints or anything like that, just why we think it's going to go that way. And we could agree on states. I think it's more than likely we'll agree on some of these states.
We only have a handful to choose from at this point.
Exactly. If we had 12, it would be just like shooting buckshot out there, which you know it is like. So we're going to go ahead and start this off with Arizona, which has 58 delegates available. Your choices are Trump, Kasich, or Cruz.
Trump. He has Sheriff Joe's endorsement, and he really speaks to immigration.
I think Kasich. He's more moderate.
That surprised me. I know we're not supposed to have a conversation, but that one surprised me.
Yeah, I think Kasich. I just, the thought came to my head, John McCain. And I thought, why not take a swing at it? If John McCain comes out and endorses John Kasich, John McCain is beloved in the state. He's a moderate Republican. I think, what if John Kasich uses his momentum from Ohio to win Arizona?
That's interesting. I like your line of thinking there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, John, Utah.
Utah. With 40 delegates, I am going to say Cruz.
That's what I thought first. I'm going to say Kasich in Utah because Mitt Romney has all but endorsed him. They're basically kissing cousins. They're campaigning together. And Mitt Romney and Utah done love each other. And I think Kasich will carry Utah.
Using that kissing cousins thing there for Utah is going to get you in some trouble. I chose Cruz because Utah I consider to be West, and Cruz has won the West. He won Texas. He won Oklahoma. He's winning the West, and Oklahoma is the West. Next, I have Wisconsin.
Trump.
Trump for Wisconsin. You know, I'm going to go with you on Trump there. I'd like to think that John Kasich can take the Great Lakes region, or at least another state in the Great Lakes region. But I think Wisconsin will indeed go to Trump. Do you have any reason why in particular?
I know that Trump is polling unusually high with union workers, and Wisconsin has a high concentration of union workers and other tradesmiths. And so I believe he'll, and really a kind of a good old boy system in Wisconsin, I think he'll take Wisconsin.
You know, I think that's probably, it's really surprising he's polling so high with union workers, because I'm sure there are some Chinese factories that really wish they could have unions, and Trump is probably there because they can't. So our next state, New York. Now, on the count of three, I want you to say who you think is going to win New York. One, two, three, Trump.
Trump.
Yeah.
That was easy. It's a home state advantage. Liberal Republicans, folks who really just love Trump. If he doesn't get it, I will be extremely surprised. He'll get those 95 delegates.
Absolutely. What about the state of Connecticut with 28 delegates?
Kasich.
Kasich.
Connecticut has a very reasonable group of people. The people who vacation in Connecticut are New Yorkers, but the people who live in Connecticut are a moderate bunch, fairly Catholic. I think he'll do well there.
I'll agree with you on Kasich there. I think that's a nice little wild card. Although my gut is telling me Trump is going to win it. The next one is Delaware with 16.
Trump.
I agree.
I don't have a good reason for that. I don't know enough about Delaware to say anything. I know I gamble there sometimes at Dover Downs.
Geographically, close to Jersey, close to New York. I think Trump.
Yep. My home state, or my new home, I should say, Maryland. Unfortunately,
it's going to hurt you. Say it.
Oh, God, it hurts.
Come out of your mouth.
This hurts. Say it. It hurts in a deep place. It's going to be Trump in Maryland, especially where I live in Southern Maryland. Trump is the topic of choice at all public areas, and he is loved. I see more Make America Great Again signs happening in Maryland. It's going to be Trump here.
Yeah. It's going to be Trump with Old Bay and a natty bow.
Don't do that to me. This really, really hurts.
Now here's big state. Swing state. Pennsylvania with 71 delegates. Which way do you think it goes? Right next to Ohio. Right next to Ohio, where Kasich is very, very popular. But also right next to New York, where Trump is very, very popular.
You know, Pennsylvania is unusually hard to call because of the smattering of dense urban areas and massive rural areas throughout the state. And they're also broken up very unusually. And the way the counties are broken up in Pennsylvania is very unusual. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a damn close call between Trump and Kasich. But I think Trump is going to squeak through Pennsylvania.
I agree. I think that it's difficult to underestimate Trump's play. You know, he polls really high in these cities too. For whatever reason, he's polling really high in the rural areas. You've got to find some real moderate Republicans who are not listening to this man's very wide message. That's the way I'll phrase that. The next state. The great state of Rhode Island. The jogger's delight. Because you could just jog from one side to the next.
I don't want
delegates.
I don't want to sound like I'm hedging my bet by picking the one who already has the most, but Trump. I really think Trump is going to take Rhode Island. And it's only 19 delegates, and I don't want to... downplay the importance of Rhode Island as a state or those very important 19 delegates, but we're only talking 19 delegates. So whoever wins, it's not a make or break state, but I think it's going to be Trump.
Oh, I think Trump takes it, but I think he dumps just millions and millions of dollars into the political wheels in Rhode Island. I don't believe that at all. I think Rhode Island's going to get mostly ignored and they're going to vote how they vote.
But to our listeners who are listening in Rhode Island, thank you for listening. No,
absolutely. It's not you. You're not the reason they're not going to dump money in there. It's your 19 delegates.
You're a beautiful state, Rhode Island.
Oh, absolutely.
And don't let anyone tell you different.
Me, it's Myself, not... and Irene, fantastic movie.
Great film.
Yeah, Family Guy, wonderful.
Gotta love the Quahogs.
Absolutely.
Nebraska.
Nope. Indiana.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Indiana. I totally missed that one. Yep. I went to college in Indiana for a while.
Yeah.
And that's why, because of my vast knowledge of having spent 1 year in the great state of Indiana, I'm hard line definitely saying Trump in Indiana.
Really? I think Kasich spills over from Ohio into Indiana.
Yes, I think that's true in the rural counties. And but if we're looking at Indianapolis and the other areas, despite the number of college and university towns that exist in Indiana, I still think you have enough rural voters and enough of the rural vote in Indiana to swing it to Trump.
Now, we're about halfway done with this, Mike, and only one of us has chosen Ted Cruz to win a state, and that was me, all the way back in Utah. So at this point, we're saying that Ted Cruz is gone...
We're coming up on one that I'm 100% going to give to Ted Cruz if he's still in the race.
Yeah. Do you think he will be in the race still at this point, having not won a race in so long?
I think April 26th might be a make or break day for Ted Cruz.
Okay.
That's a big vote. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 elections on April 26th, including Maryland. I think that's going to be his date. I think we'll know on April 26th whether or not this gets down to one or if it's still a two-man race.
Absolutely.
On the Republican side.
So who do you think wins Nebraska?
Donald Trump.
Wow. With the yeah. Donald Trump call.
It's so rural. I think he really plays well there. I don't want to, reiterate that every time we hit a state, but it's true. Nebraska voters, I think they're going to eat up Trump.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. I think they're just the crowd he's looking for. We are going to head on to our next state, which is West Virginia with 34 delegates. Now, I, being from Ohio originally and from Florida now, right? I am going to say Donald Trump wins West Virginia because, well, I've been to West Virginia, and Donald Trump's just going to win West Virginia.
I can't agree with your can't disagree with your logic on there, John, but I am going to disagree with your choice.
Ooh.
West Virginia, I've spent some time there visiting friends and driving through.
Fast, I hope.
As fast as I could. Yeah. West Virginia is, in fact, wild and wonderful and very, very Christian and evangelical. Okay. So this is where I say, if he's still in the race on May 10th, Ted Cruz takes West Virginia.
Ted Cruz, I want you to mark West Virginia as your day that you broke the Mike Bellis glass ceiling, and he now believes that you can win a state in the remaining primaries.
Furthermore, double-digit win.
Wow.
I'm saying a double-digit win.
I'm going to put double Ds next to your pick here, and I am going to assume that you do not mean Cruz's bust. Okay. Our next state, the great state of Oregon. Their trails are wonderful. Their video games about their trails are wonderful. We all remember it. Where do you think we go in Oregon?
Gosh.
28 delegates.
Wow. You know, Oregon, I have spent very little time in Oregon, as I've never been to Washington State. So the Pacific Northwest in general is an area of real weakness for me. I know they're very liberal in the Pacific Northwest. So knowing that, I'm going to go with John Kasich in Oregon. Because I believe people in Oregon are very rational folks, and they're going to see the value add in John Kasich.
Not only will Oregon go Kasich, but they will have gone Kasich before anyone else went Kasich. Okay? And you can ask anybody in Portland that. We are going now to the state just north of Oregon, Washington State.
So, fun fact about Washington State, John, it's the one state in the contiguous 48 that I have not been to. I have set foot in every other state except for Washington State. Huh. But going along the same line of logic as I did with Oregon, I'm also going to say John Kasich takes Washington with a hard fight in Seattle, in the greater Seattle metro area, but John Kasich.
I will agree with you on that one. I want to move on to this next state, the biggest state left in the race. This is a make or break state, Mike. Very important state. Covers a lot of ground, much like our home state of Florida does. The state of California. 172. That's a lot of delegates. That's more delegates than John Kasich has right now. It's more delegates than Marco Rubio had. Rest his soul.
Bless his heart.
Yeah. The great state of California. The liberal state of California, the very dry state of California, with all their Priuses and smog.
But the wonderful home to the best president this country ever knew.
Oh, absolutely.
Ronald Reagan. John, California, wow, what a wild card. I know we're not supposed to have a lot of dialogue about these states, but with 172 total delegates, I really feel like I'm allowed to have a sidebar on this.
Granted.
Thank you. I am so torn about what California is going to do. As if their state isn't already sinking into the Pacific Ocean, they're going to be ripped apart through this primary if it's still a two-man race.
They might have to make a Dwayne Johnson movie to show how they'll be held together.
California. Oh, Lord. What are they going to do? You know, it kills me to say this, and I want you to know how much it hurts. But as much as California is liberal, they are also really unusual, and they really enjoy the novelty candidate. And to that end, I'm going to give California to Trump.
I am giving California to John Flippin' Kasich, because he's going to ride in there.
You shut your mouth.
Like Ronnie. He's going to ride in there like Ronnie. He's going to have Mitt by his side, toting some milk and special underwear, and they are going to win that state for John Kasich. He's going to get 172 delegates, okay? And he is going to get so much momentum out of it.
You know, John, I guess this comes out of ignorance because I really don't know. Is your best friend in the world Mitt Romney, is he loved in California?
No, but he loves Ronald Reagan and California loved Ronald Reagan. And they're going to talk more about Ronald Reagan and California than Ronald Reagan talked about Ronald Reagan. They'll talk more about Ronald Reagan in California than Bob Dole talks about Bob Dole. Okay, they will talk more in California than Mitch McConnell does about wild accusations about things.
Wow.
They are going to talk so much in California about Ronald Reagan and about John Kasich's moderate policies and how he believes in the environment and all that stuff, and he is going to pull so many liberals his way. It's not even going to be funny. He's going to come at Donald Trump like Tim Allen in Galaxy Quest, trailing mines, and he's going to throw him right into Trump's ship. And that is a deep, deep reference that I want you to sit there and marinate on, because it's a good movie, Galaxy Quest, and you should.
I was going
to
say that was by Grapthar's hammer.
You shall be avenged. And that's what John Kasich is going to say to Marco Rubio when Rubio calls him and goes, thanks, buddy.
Okay, because, I have a follow-up question, John, about California.
Yeah.
If John Kasich had to do what he did to his hair to win Ohio, what the hell is he going to have to do to his hair to win California?
Oh, frosted tips. He's going to have frosted tips, and he's going to have to do surfing lessons. Imagine John Kasich winning Los Angeles, mostly because the liberals are going to be out there campaigning against Trump so hard.
Do you know what they're going to call him? They're going to call him the Ohio Putin. The Putin of the Midwest.
No, his rhetoric is not as harsh as Putin's.
No, it's not. I'm just talking about mean, like, really, like, cool and buff and, like, relevant. You know, gosh, California, I'll tell you, we should circle back to this conversation in May, because I think whatever happens over the next few months is really going to determine how these later primaries.
We're
going to
keep circling back to this every time there's a primary. We're going to see who's wrong.
All right, John, we have four more states to go.
Okay. Now, I use state abbreviations for this, and I'm pretty sure I used the wrong ones, but I believe the next one is Minnesota.
It's Montana.
Montana. Damn it. Montana. MN is not Montana, I'm guessing.
Nope, that would be Minnesota. So,
that is Minnesota. It's M-O-N.
Montana. Nope, that's Missouri.
So many M states. What is Montana? MT?
MT, I believe.
MT. Montana. There we go. Little social studies for everybody listening. 27
Montana.
Delegates. Montana.
Montana is a really wonderful state. I've spent a lot of time backpacking in Montana.
Great.
My wife and I are taking a road trip out to Montana.
Is that relevant to the primary?
It is, because okay. I think they're a people
salt
who
of the
are
earth people.
Absolutely. No, I don't think stubborn. I think, though, that they understand the principles of self-reliance, and they understand the idea of working. And to that end, unfortunately, I think Trump is going to take Montana. I think he plays on that. I think he speaks to people who, despite the people of Montana who have to work for what they have, and arguably Trump has never worked an honest day in his life, I still think that the people of Montana will think that Trump has their best interests at heart.
Montana, right? What does Montana have in common with Texas? They
Buffalo.
Ride horses.
Oh.
They ride horses in Montana. They ride a lot of horses in Montana. They are cowboys in Montana. And that is why Ted Cruz is going to win Montana. I do not know Montana that well, but it's the West. And as I said earlier, Ted Cruz wins the West. Now, you may say California's the West, John, but no, it's not. No, it's not.
Just like Florida is not the South to some people.
No.
I disagree with
California
that.
California is full of communists and socialists, right? As Joe McCarthy tried to save us from. Okay.
To all of our listeners in California, please know that John's opinion is not reflective of that of this podcast.
No.
Although it is. But thank you for sticking with us. And gosh, we love your Pacific Coast Highway.
Completely fabricated opinion. I just thought it would be funny to say. But truthfully, full of liberals, right? So it doesn't count as the West. You know, the West is very Republican. It's very conservative. They are thumping a little book all the time. I think Montana goes towards Cruz. If he's still in the race.
For the record, it's not a little book. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the good book.
Great. collection of stories.
Let's talk about New Jersey.
New Jersey. Kevin Smith is from New Jersey. He's a great man, good podcaster. He's from California. Well, he's from New Jersey, lives in California.
And hey, Kev, we know you're a listener. Thank you so much for continuing to support this podcast. Man, oh, absolutely. We really appreciate
it. The surprising Republican, Kevin Smith. I'm sure he believes in small government. And all of, you know, the ideals that that comes with.
Absolutely.
Outside of the social parameters. Fiscally Republican. New Jersey, 51 delegates. I think we can both say it on three. One, two, three.
Kasich.
Trump. Oh, Mike Bellis with a Kasich.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Two words, Atlantic City. Atlantic City hates Donald Trump. He has left such a bitter taste in Atlantic City mm-hmm. and all of northern New Jersey in general that I don't think that he's going to do well, or southern New Jersey, to be honest. I don't really know what part of the state it's in, but I don't think it's going to fare well for him in Jersey. I know they're close to New York. I know they're very similar to the electorate of New York, but there are parts of New Jersey that are very reasonable that are in fact very concerned about the environment. And I don't think that that Trump will do well in New Jersey. I think he'll have a hard fight in New Jersey ahead of him.
Even with Chris Christie's endorsement? Even with all the bridges shutting down so Kasich can't even get in there to campaign?
You know, it's going to be a close one. It's not a double-digit win for Kasich, but no. I think it's going to be he'll squeak through. Squeak, and Trump will demand a recount, but he'll squeak.
Jeez. New Mexico. With 24.
Kasich.
Okay.
Again, we're part of that. That's that Tex-Mex, you know, Southwest United States that really does love Mitt Romney. And I think he'll ride the Romney coattails through New Mexico.
I am going to say, oh, goodness, I'm messing this up so much. I am going to say Ted Cruz. Now, I'm not messing up because, in my opinion, I was writing down the wrong letters to signify who wins what state. I'm going to say Ted Cruz. Hispanic population goes for Ted Cruz. New Mexico.
Fair enough. South Dakota.
Which is funny because when I looked at it, I almost said San Diego, which would have been very embarrassing. I'm glad I even said it now so that it's still embarrassing. San Diego. South Dakota.
Look, hold on. Here at Two Surprising Republicans, we don't claim to be what you might call academics. We're just two friends who really enjoy the grand old party and talking to each other. So please enjoy our banter. Please try not to dissect what we're saying as political analysts, because we are not that. We're really just trying to share our fun times with you.
Fans of talking politics. And, you know, everything is meant to be in fun. South Dakota, 29. I know where I'm going with it. I'm going Trump. Mike?
I am too, because I don't have a good reason why, because he has really crazy momentum and it'll probably be hard to stop him by June.
Okay, this is the part where I'm going to tally up the total number of delegates that we have assigned for each candidate and see if we are going to hit a contested convention. This is also the time where Mike is going to play the Sarah McLachlan song you hear in sad pet commercials so that you guys can listen to that really quick. Shouldn't take very long, maybe 10 seconds. Nothing we're going to get a copyright strike for. Why I tally this up. This is mostly just so he has to find that song, cut that song, and do it because he has too much free time out there in Maryland eating his crab cakes. In the arms of the angel. Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that striking rendition of Sarah McLachlan that Mike sang or played for you.
You're welcome, Internet.
That could be our new theme song. So, I have here the tabulated results of our primary.
Hey, Mike, putting a drum roll here too, why don't you?
Why don't you? And the winner, according to Mike Bellis, is Donald Trump, who wins it with 1,333 delegates after winning the state of California, which
he
disagreed on.
Damn it.
You have Ted Cruz coming in second, although you only picked him to win one other state.
Call it like I see it.
Yeah. And you have John Kasich coming in third, winning a surprising number of delegates, with ending with 358. I have predicted a contested convention.
Ooh.
I know. I predicted Trump would win 1,104 delegates, mostly stopping him by making sure that Kasich wins California. Come on, communists and socialists. Vote with us. Okay. Kasich gets 530 delegates in the end, and Ted Cruz finishes third with 502. Now, could be a little bit of a bias coming through there. I really do like Kasich. If you guys want to keep score at home with your own primaries, okay, I hope you have played along. I hope you keep track. We're going to go through these every time, and I'm going to make fun of Mike every time he's wrong about it. And Lord knows, he'll probably say something like, oh, funny how I won that one. Something snarky like that. That is our main topic today. I hope you guys had fun with it. I know we kind of enjoyed it. It was a little bit of a lighter, banterier main topic than we've had before. A little bit more fun to listen to. Hopefully it didn't piss you off too much and you keep coming back for more. We would really like you guys to reach out to us on our Facebook group, which you can find at the URL.
Facebook.com/2SurprisingRepublicans.
Thank you. And reach out to us, and we would really like to know what candidate you think is going to win the primary. On top of that, we want to start a discussion about something. This is something I posted on Facebook about this last week during the primaries, because I felt that it was an important thing to do. Now, we all know, after listening to this show the last couple of weeks, that I am not a huge fan of Donald Trump. I like to think that Mike is not as well. Although I believe both of our parents are kind of swinging that way.
Correct.
Disappointed in them. Would you vote for a candidate you did not support fully if they were not your candidate of choice, if it meant blocking a candidate from receiving the delegates from your state? I.e., I live in Ohio. If I believed that Marco Rubio was the correct candidate for president, but I know for a fact Marco Rubio is not going to win the state of Ohio, I would vote for John Kasich to make sure that John Kasich won the state of Ohio and Donald Trump did not receive Ohio's vote. Okay? Eliminating completely Marco Rubio from the Ohio election.
Despite the fact that in this theory, you wanted Marco Rubio to win.
Exactly. So in Florida, having removed John Kasich from the ballot completely in your mind, so that you could only vote for Marco Rubio or Donald Trump, because Ted Cruz wasn't going to win anyway, and securing Florida and all of its delegates for Marco Rubio just so that Donald Trump didn't get them. Would you be willing to use your vote to block another candidate? Play politics yourself in order to stop a candidate from getting office.
You know, John, I have a lot of opinions about this. I'm not sure if you want to hear them in today's podcast, or maybe we'll circle around to this next week. But
I think we could circle around to it next week. I think we're getting pretty tight on time, and I think this is something we could definitely visit next week.
Absolutely. Another place that you can interface with us, because we want to keep this discussion going all the time, especially during this really exciting primary season, is to visit us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is SurprisingGOP, so that's twitter.com/SurprisingGOP. We're typically tweeting during different debates or other major events on primary days, etc. Recently, there was a really fun hashtag called #HistoryByHillary. And so I have I want to share a few of my favorite tweets that got a lot of traction that day. Quote, I have always stood by my LGBTQ brothers and sisters. #HistoryByHillary. If for those of you who may not be in the know, this hashtag came about after she said, Bernie Sanders, where were you when I was fighting for healthcare reform? And the answer was literally standing behind her at a press conference. So basically, Hillary didn't turn around and she's rewriting history to make it look better for her. Another fun one was, quote, I am proud to call Tipper Gore my bridge partner for the last 35 years. #HistoryByHillary. And the one that everyone loved the most, quote, email, I can't even remember my password, let alone use newfangled technology. #HistoryByHillary. So I hope you can come on and have an exchange with us. Again, we have a lot of fun with it on Twitter and online, and it's a good way to interact with John and I.
Absolutely. If you wanted to reach me personally on Twitter, you could find me at jrawlingsjr.
And you can find me on Twitter. This is Mike, by the way, and my Twitter handle is at mdbellis, mdbellis. As you know, we're a fledgling show. We're only in our third episode, and something that really helps us out to get some more traction and make sure more people are a part of this growing family is to visit us and give us a rate and a review on iTunes. If you listen to us on there, you can do the same on Stitcher and on SoundCloud by reposting, commenting, and liking our podcast.
Absolutely. It is a great joy for us to be able to get together once a week, just sit down, talk about what's in the news cycle, talk about how we feel about things, and to get some information out there. You know, I firmly believe this is a good platform for us to maybe inform some young voters and some, you know, undecided voters that just because you're a Republican doesn't mean that you're, you know, super right wing. You don't believe in gay marriage. You don't believe in this. You don't believe in that. You know, it's about small government. Social policies aside, it's really down to the core, just about keeping government small, keeping them out of your business, having the state and local governments decide things like they're meant to, you know? And there's a way for those beliefs to exist in our party outside of the social stuff, which I believe really, with that belief of small government, you would believe would not be the government's job to regulate. Is that correct?
I would agree with that. And every time I encounter a liberal, I always ask them one question. I say, when you look at your paycheck, are you upset when you see the difference between your net and your gross? Because I know I am. Because I know that I know how to spend that money the best on my family and on donations and in supporting my friends and neighbors and what I think is most important. And I don't think it's the government's job to make those decisions. And so that's what I always say. Look at your paycheck stub and tell me if you want to see those two numbers closer together. And if you say yes, then you're probably a conservative.
So we hope you guys can marinate on some of those things. We hope you guys enjoyed our primary segment. And if you really would like to get in touch with us, check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Make sure you rate us and review us on iTunes. We've had a great time talking to you tonight. We hope you have a great week. And keep your eye on the elections, keep your ear to the ground, and make sure you guys pay attention. It's very important for you to pay attention to these things. It is your right as an American citizen to vote and to be informed about who you are voting for.
You know, my father said too many good men died face down in the mud for your right to vote, so don't waste that vote. And my favorite line, and I'll close with this, is if you don't vote, you can't complain.
Absolutely. I hope you guys have a nice week, and we will talk to you again soon.
Take care.
Bye.